This is a time of the year, like DJ reminded us this morning, that people tend to make year's resolutions, pledges, promises, plans that they would like to tackle. Sometimes they do it because they did not get to accomplish certain things in the previous year, 2015, and they think, well, let me just make this resolution. And you know, they're really excited about it because it's like, now we're going to do it. I mean, everybody has that passion, that zeal to start. And so you Google that, and it gives you like drinking less, quit smoking, join the gym, lose weight. I mean, those are on the top. Get organized. I mean, you go through, enjoy more, maybe get out of debt. That's a big resolution for Americans in general. You know, to pay my student loans. I mean, so many things that you would like to accomplish. But like DJ said, sometimes, I mean, it's nice and dandy to desire to have them, but do you have a plan of action to go about reaching those goals that we have? I mean, statistics will tell you that by mid-January, many of those resolutions are being thrown out of the window by certain people. But they could not continue for whatever reason. I mean, I just want to challenge ourselves, like, how about for a resolution this year, working on the spiritual? How about working on our relationship with Christ? I think we don't need to wait for a new year to really work on that. No, it should always be at the top of our priorities to work on our relationship with God. You know, if you are in a relationship right now, either you are married or not, you know that that relationship requires works. It's not easy. It's not just like, it's not require effort, work, preparation, quality time. I mean, you know, how about working on a relationship with Jesus this year? Now, the question that it boggles my mind is, why is it that by mid-January, a lot of people, they abandon the resolution? What is it? And as I do research and I study, I think I came up with the answer. There's really one simple answer why people don't continue. And you know why it is? Because they don't want it that bad. They did not want that resolution that bad. And when I'm talking to you about wanting something that bad, is as though your life depends on it. You know what I mean? Because sometimes, I mean, look, people say like, get financial stable before you get married. If you waited for that, you would never get married. Wait until you have a house to have kids. If you wait for that, you will never have kids. Sometimes you learn as you go about, as you launch yourself into that, and it happens, and you learn. All of a sudden, you know how to navigate through that. So a lot of times people break the resolution because they don't want it that bad. And when I'm talking to you, it's like you have to want it. And so you're like grasping for air, like because you're drowning, and that air, you want that air because you want it to survive. That's how much you want to want it. You desire it. It's like your life depends on it. And you know how it is. Sometimes people might owe so much money because somebody's about to die. People here can testify about that. Like, that particular individual needs a surgery and you don't have the money. All of a sudden, the money out of nowhere appeared. Like, you moved because you want, you know what I'm talking about? You wanted that person to live, and you did whatever was necessary so that he or she can have the surgery. That's how bad you wanted it. So people sometimes, they don't accomplish the resolutions. You don't, those goals that you said, you don't do it. Why? Because you don't want, truly, the simple answer is you simply did not want it too bad or that bad. You know, in Black Friday, you see how people want something that bad. They go 6 in the morning. You do those things. You act, you push people around that normally you would never push people around. And you drag and grab and things, all because you want that 50-inch TV. It's like, that's how bad you wanted it. You know, and you say, when we went to Long Island to spend some time for Thanksgiving, and when we went by Coney Island, there was already lines at Best Buy. Now, that was Thanksgiving Day. And there were people calling like, oh, no, I'm going to be on the line for 2 hours and you come 3 hours. And it's like, why? Because they really want that bad. That's how much they wanted it. And they're willing to sacrifice, to push people around, to go to the store certain so early in the morning, just to get something because they really want that at home. You see what I'm talking about? That's an example of wanting something that bad. How about us wanting to grow in Christ that bad also for this new year? How bad do we really want it? I mean, Christians, why is it so hard for us to focus on the spiritual? Why is it so hard sometimes for us to grow in Christ? Or better yet, to be better followers of Jesus? The simple question is, again, because we don't really want to grow in Christ that much. We don't want it that bad. So, there was a Facebook post that some church in the Philippines got flooded and people attended service nonetheless. And there they are with their waters to their knees standing. Now, some of us in America would say, well, who's responsible to pump out the water? That's what we would be focusing on. Like, who did not do the job to pump out the water? They didn't care. The water could not get pumped out of it. They just attended church to the water to their knees, standing, praising Jesus. Because that's how bad they wanted it that day. Every relationship needs nurturing, caring, spending time together. So the same way with Jesus Christ, we need to spend time with Him. And one of the things we talk about, you know this too, how do we spend time with God? I mean, through prayer, through reading of the Word, through meditating on the Word. I mean, you cannot grow in your relationship with God if you don't read the Bible. I will say that again. You cannot grow in your relationship with God if you're not reading His Word. You cannot read. We don't grow up in our relationship with God apart from the Bible. You have to start to work on this time. Like I said, you don't have to wait for another year, 2017, to say, I'm gonna do this. You can do it anytime. Nobody has to tell you. You can say, I'm gonna work on my relationship with my Savior because this is important to me and I wanted it this bad. See, Francis Chan, many of you know him. When he became a Christian, he said, people used to tell him in church, Francis, you got to read the Bible. You have to read your Bible. And he was just so passionate about that. He said, you know, I forced myself to read it. I disciplined myself that I would get up early in the morning just to read the Word, to read. This is how bad he wanted it, to get early in the morning just to read, to spend time with God. And he's one of the greatest writers that the Christian faith has these days. Francis Chan, he wanted it that bad. He said, you know, people told me I needed to do it. And so he says, I wanted to grow. I forced myself. I you know, got early in the morning just to read. Because I just wanted to see what he says. That's how bad he wanted it. Now, another this guy that I'm going to talk to you next, he's my brother-in-law. He doesn't know that I'm talking about him right now. But to me, he's an inspiration. Scott Bloomer. This guy only been a Christian for about 3 years. He used to be into drugs and a lot of other things, you know, young people do. But he found Jesus about 3 years, and he just fell in love with Jesus. When I met him, we used to play softball together, and, you know, his sister came to the church. He wasn't, you know, sometimes he and I would go to the gym or whatever, just trying to minister to him. He got baptized after we came to Staten Island. And now it's almost like amazing. When you talk to him, you sense that he's been a Christian maybe 15-some years because the knowledge that he has, it's just overwhelming. In only 3 years, and Scott Bloomer, if he goes on vacation, two things he takes. The Bible and his guitar. And it's like, I mean, you see, he's there. I think he's composing a song now. He sent me a little demo of the song he's recording. But he's in the DR, you know, he doesn't know a lot of Spanish. No, he doesn't know, not a lot. He doesn't know Spanish. And he's hanging out with over there, you know, playing guitar with the kids. Like, it's amazing to me that this young man wanted to grow in a relationship with Jesus that bad. And you know another thing? He married my sister. I think Scott Bloomer had never flown until he met my sister. He wanted her so bad that he got into a plane for the first time in his life. That's how much he wanted her. And they're married now. And then he goes now. He flies everywhere now. And you can sense his love and passion. I mean, even through Facebook, sometimes people can tell whether you're a Republican or Democrat on Facebook. I guarantee you can tell that he's a Christian just based on the post that he brings on Facebook. It's all about Jesus and something that he read or something that, you know, amazing. To me, he's an inspirational, even though he's, you know, I can be his dad, spiritually speaking. But it's just like how he's growing, how he just wants to do things because he wants to grow in Christ that bad. But even on his vacation time, his Bible is one of those items and his guitar. That guitar, he's going to the DR so many times. He comes here, he brings it too. I'm thinking like, why you going to get extra luggage, man? He does it. Because that's how bad he wants it. Michael Jordan, many of us know him too. Well, we know about him, we don't know him personally. When he was a sophomore in high school, he got kicked out of his basketball team. And he went home crying. And that fueled the passion and motivated him to be the greatest player in the world. And you know the rest of the story. He became the greatest player in the NBA. Everybody else wants to be like him. You know, but yeah, he didn't make it a sophomore year in high school. Got kicked out of the team. And he went home and said, you know what? I'm going to work on my game now. And we know the rest of the story. I mean, the greatest NBA player in history. That's how bad he wanted it. He didn't take rejection. He said, you think I don't have game? I'm going to prove you wrong. I'm going to go home and work on my game because I'm going to show you. And he has shown the world how much he wanted to be the greatest, and he is. Now, let's go back to our case now. How much do we really want to grow in our relationship with Jesus? How much do we really want to grow spiritually this year? Do we really want it that much or that bad, like those examples that I've shown you already? Now, the Bible says that in order for us to want it, the Bible puts it this way. We had to crave it as an infant craves milk. We had to want to grow. We had to have this craving as a newborn baby craves milk. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. We must want it really bad in order to succeed. 1 Peter 2, verses 1 through 3. This is what the Apostle Peter said to the church. Therefore, rid yourself of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. We had to crave this thing of growing in Jesus. We had to crave it as much as the same way newborn baby crave milk. You know how it is. They're just ready. Bring it. They wanted it. So that's how Peter said that in order for us to grow, we want to want it that bad. I would say it this way. The Bible is to the Christian while milk is to a little infant baby. The Bible is to us Christians what milk will be to a newborn baby. But we have to have the craving for it. Peter says, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now it's interesting. Look at how he started. Therefore, rid yourself of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander. I mean, those things will be great for resolution. A lot of people might have to do resolution. Like maybe I'm going to stop. I'm gonna try my best not to envy people when they have the new cars and things. That'd be a great resolution. But you know, even if you try, unless you grow in Christ to the point of maturity, you will not be able to accomplish those things. Hypocrisy, envy, slander, which is gossip of every kind. I mean, you want resolutions? There's some right there. It's like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk. Now, the New American Standard Bible would say, pure milk of the Word, talking about the Scripture, the Word of God, the Bible. We have to crave that the same way infants crave milk if we want to grow. You see, we cannot grow apart from the Word of God. I mean, you might grow studying a Joel Osteen book or something like that. Your theology is going to be very much like him. This thing is called the pure spiritual milk. It's not skim milk. You know, a lot of times people have adulterated the Word of God in the sense that they have put something else. You know, we don't want it. We don't want it just pure. We don't want it whole milk. We want skim milk. You know, we want to make it more palatable, thinking that, you know, and there's a lot of people that they don't want the Word of God the way it is, and they compromise it, they being changing it, and guess what happens? They're going to suffer from malnutrition, because you're not getting the pure thing, you're getting something else. Peter is calling us to crave, to have these cravings for the Word of God, if we want to grow, we want to mature in Christ. Otherwise, it ain't going to happen. The Word of God, the Bible, is really the spiritual nourishment that we need if we want to grow. And yes, you can say, well, maybe I need a plan of attack. You know what the only plan of attack you need? Read. Study it. I mean, nobody else can do that for you. I mean, you might listen to people preaching it, but you have to just read it. Nobody can feed that to you. I mean, you have to just devour it, eat it. Like God told the prophet, eat my word, eat this scroll. And it might taste a little bitter, but later on it's going to satisfy your longings. You have to eat, you have to devour the word of God if we want to grow and mature in Him. Why? Why do we need to do that? Because the word of God is really what tells us about Jesus. If we want to know Him, the only way to know Him is through His book. See, a lot of Christians, we have lost the cravings for the things of God, His Word. And like I said, some have chosen to water down the gospel, to water down the Word of God, to suffer, like I said, for malnutrition. They will not develop well as mature disciples of Jesus. They will not develop themselves well as Christians. When you are watering down what the Word of God says. We have a lot of religious groups out there. You know, we're changing whatever he says in certain areas, like because it offends us now. Everything that he says, like, is offensive to me. Newsflash, it's not supposed to make you better. It's just like, oh, like just to it, the Word of God attacks sin and confronts it, and we don't like that. But a lot of people, oh, let's eliminate all those things, or let's eliminate all the things that it says about homosexuality because we don't, that's offensive, or let's eliminate everything that it says about sin. Really? And then we wonder why we don't understand God that much later on, because we're just attacking His own word. Peter said, like newborn baby craves, we have to the pure spiritual milk so that by it we may grow up in our salvation. We can grow up and be mature men and women of God. Now that we have tasted that the Lord is good, this is a really, every year, every time should be our resolution to grow up to maturity, to grow up to where God has called me to do. You see, God's plan for His people always being that they look like Jesus. Remember, He predestined us so that we be conformed to the pattern of His Son. In other words, if we're not looking like Jesus, how we behave, if we don't resemble Jesus, how we talk to people, how we communicate with others, how we serve people, how we worship, if we're not doing those things like Jesus, then there's a lot of tuning up that needs to happen into our system. If we're not loving our wives like Jesus loved the church, if we're not loving people the way Jesus loves us, then there's a lot of work to do. And the only element that's going to help us work with that is the pure spiritual milk of the Word of God. Without it, we might not even know what to do. God wants His followers to resemble the Son. That we look like Jesus. And the only way that we're going to know what Jesus looked like or what He did is going to the book that tells us about Jesus. You see, it's never too late to start craving God's Word once again. I would say, I never read a book in my entire life until I went to college. High school, I didn't read books. I wasn't into reading. Like some of you say, I'm not a reader. It's never too late to start. You can read now with your iPad, your iPhone, your Blueberry, Blackberry, whatever gadget you have out there. You can read even in the dark. So there's really no excuse for reading. Just that maybe we don't want it that bad. But I went to college, and the first thing they said, well, I didn't know how to use a computer. Typing on a computer, this guy told me, well, what you gotta do, get a girlfriend, and she can do the work for you. It sounded good, but as I realized, I gotta learn. I wanted it that bad that this guy, I kid you not, he told me what every key in the keyboard did. It's like, oh, this one does that. And I was doing this. It took me so long to type a paper because I didn't know how to type. I went to school in the DR, in the Dominican. I never used a computer. And then I come to college here and they said, you had to write that paper, you know, and put them on the computer. And it's like, really? And it's like, well, that's how it is. Okay. And then I was, you know, I was working on it. And then, you know, it's like, I still don't know what all the kids in the computer do. But, you know, it got me through college. And then the other thing was like, oh, you had to read that book and write a report about the book. And I said, are you kidding me? I had to read this 200-page book, and I'm a slow reader, you know. And then I had to write you a paper so that you can see that I understood what the book says. Okay. You know, and then I think that going through college developed this thirst for reading. You know, and then later on, you know, in college, they never told me to read the Bible all the way from Genesis to Revelation. I did that after I was in the ministry because I got this longing for reading now. That's their fault that I have this longing now just to read and continue. And I realized, well, the one that I love reading the most is the Bible. And just different versions all through because you get the message. Like, somebody developed that. But you see, they didn't tell me read. I had to do it because I wanted it that bad. And it's still, I'm always reading the Word of God. I'm not saying you got to be like Michael. You got to be like me. You got to find really within yourself, what's it going to take for you to develop that zeal, that craving for God's Word once again? It's never too late. Like I said, you don't have to change. You know, for things to change in your family, in your home, in your church, in your own life, you can start doing it anytime. The question you have to ask is, how bad do I really want it? How bad do I really want to engage myself into this? Because if you don't want it that bad, don't do it then. Because you're going to fail. Those people that accomplished, that succeeded in what they wanted to do, they did it because they wanted it that bad. And you saw it. They shown it to the whole world. So how much do you truly want to grow closer to God in this year? That, my friends, depends on you. I mean, you listen to a lot of sermons, you go through Bible study, but still you might not be growing. I mean, you might just listen, it comes here and then goes out the other ear. You know, sometimes you find people that have been in church for 20-some years and they're afraid to confront somebody, you know, talking about or explain Jesus to other. I mean, there's some problem there. If you don't know how to explain Jesus or what baptism is and you've been in the church 50 years, I mean, you know, what happens is you are a grown-up individual with spiritually the mind of a child. But how bad do you want to grow into a relationship with the Lord? I mean, you have to nurture that relationship. He already knows a lot about you and you don't know nothing about Him. The time is now. It depends on you. It depends on how much you want to be nourished with the Word of God. As Christians, we won't grow in our relationship with God if we don't crave His Word. We won't grow in our relationship with Jesus if we don't crave the Bible. If we ignore the Bible, we will not grow. As simple as it is. You see, when you go through the Bible, you see all the examples of people that were, they just have this craving. And it's almost like worthy of imitating. The songwriter in Psalm 42, his craving went something like this. The writer says, as the deer pants for water, for streams of water, so my soul pants for you. That's beautiful imagery. As the deer, you know, deers, we have a lot of deer in Staten Island now. They're looking for streams of water. Just like they go crazy looking for streams of water, my soul is going to go crazy looking for you, Lord. That's my translation. It's like, wow, that's amazing. Do you hear the longing? Do you sense the craving of this songwriting? As the deer, the animal goes for the water, I'm going to go just like that for you. And then he says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Man, I want to have this thirst for God, this passion that other people can see, like, wow, you're so passionate about that. You know, sometimes we get passionate about sports and things or video games, society here. You know, we talk with so much passion about video. Oh, man, that game, And then when it comes to the word of God, it's like, yeah. You know, people, you're already showing what you're really passionate about, my brothers and sisters. If I want to be passionate about, yes, I'm not saying don't be passionate about your video game, but I want the same passion you have for that game, for the word of God too. You understand what I'm saying? I didn't hear any amen to that, right? The same passion you show, like Josiah, it's so crazy. You know, it's like, he will not eat. Man, that's another illustration. He will not eat because he's playing video game. Would you not eat sometimes because you're into the word of God? Man, we can come up with so many illustrations right now. Just like, man, seriously, that's your zeal, your passion. You know, I'm passionate about playing softball. You see me playing, you know, I go all the way. But I want the same way when I'm preaching the word of God, when I'm dealing with people, when I'm talking about Jesus. I want people to sense that I really love Jesus. I'm not playing. I really love him. I want that passion to come out through me. Sometimes we're just passionate, you know, sometimes we're just passionate about something else, but we forget the main priority. And it's sad. It's very sad, but we do it. As the deer pants for waters, my soul pants for you. How about Paul? He was crazy about Jesus, man. He said, I want to know Christ. But he already knew him. He said, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering. I want to know Christ that much that even how he suffered, I want to suffer like that too. And become like him in his death. Paul, that's just crazy. But that's how he was. He was sold out for Jesus. You can sense his passion. And then finally he says in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ. If I'm going to be alive, I'm going to do it for Jesus. And if I die, so be it. I'm going to go with him anyways. That's how bad he wanted it. That's how bad they wanted it. It's like, wow, you sense the passion, the desire, the craving to know Jesus. I mean, I can bring you so many examples in the Bible of people. Moses. I mean, he told God, if you're not going with me, I'm not moving. He's like, man, I want to know you and the power, know God and the power of the resurrection and be like him. Even if I had to suffer like him, so be it. You see, whatever plans or resolutions you might be working on this year, whatever plans or resolutions you have for this year, your success is going to depend on how bad you really want it. I mean, that's really, at the end, you say, I did it, because that's you wanted it that bad, and you worked, you did whatever you needed to do, because you wanted it that bad. Now, on the other hand, if you, my brothers and sisters, neglect the spiritual walk, you neglect the spiritual, you neglect your relationship with God throughout your resolution this year, then you're really not investing in what truly matters. Neglecting Jesus, really. You're working everything else, but you're not going to work in your relationship with him. Then, really, according to what the Bible is telling me, we're investing not in what truly matters. Jesus said, seek my kingdom, and everything else will be added to you. So how bad do you truly want it? No, let me just change the question. How bad do you truly want him? I already know how bad he wanted me. All I had to do is look at the cross. So how bad do you truly want Jesus and work on your relationship this year?